You know, when I finally got to a point of recognizing my life wasn't working, that's always a good time to pay attention. My life wasn't working, and I was trying my best to do the right thing, and I wasn't able to do it. I kept saying yes to sin, and I kept not being able to get to God, and I tried harder, and it got worse. And I realized I had a sin problem, and kind of knew I couldn't fix it. And so I finally got to a point of understanding, okay, Jesus said he could forgive me of this. I'll start there. So I went to God, and I experienced his forgiveness. I remember that felt like. I knew I was right with God. I got it all out on the table and said, this is where I'm really at. I didn't hide anything. And at that moment, everything literally changed, way more than I even understood at the time. I became a brand new person. Paul says that you become a brand new creation. Becoming a Christian isn't managing your life and managing your sin. Becoming a Christian is dying to an old self and living into a new self that God has provided by his grace. And it's a whole new path, right? And so as I look at that, I think I find myself in places where the words are hard to describe, but I mean, you understand why Jesus, when he's trying to explain this to people, he says, it's you have to be born again. It's actually a new birth. This is, and he talks about these things in which that, you know, this is what it means to be in Christ. And so as we're going through this series, we're just talking about what that means. What happens when you say yes to Jesus and you come to him, you become a new creation. You have a whole new standing with God. You're no longer be afraid of God. You can go to God boldly, and all those things we have as we function different. And what we've been talking about is this place of we have a whole new way of thinking. We have a whole new way of perceiving things. We have a different attitude. And so as we're talking about these four S's of attitudes, today we're on sheep. So I want you to know this from the very beginning. I'll be calling you a sheep most of the sermon, all right? Now, Josh talked about being a servant, and he said, you know, I think about Downton Abbey where they are in the basement, you know, and they have to dress rich people, and it's like, doesn't sound very good to me, and pretty bad impression. I think sheep may go down to another level, right? You know, when we think about sheep, this is kind of what we think about, right? And that's a pretty accurate portrayal of a sheep, right? Kind of cute, but not what you really necessarily want to be. You know, it's this spot in which that, you know, we, you know, when you're at these parties, they what and you have this game, like what animal do you want to be? You know? Not many people say, I always wanted to be a sheep, right? Because sheep are people that we say, you know, we have a t-shirt say, don't be a sheep. I mean, that's our model. You don't want to be a sheep. There is a sheep website, Sheep 101, and I looked it up. I learned some things about sheep. Some thing I thought for sure maybe they're rumors, but they weren't. Sheep will actually follow each other off cliffs. Just boom, boom, they just keep going, right? They'll follow each other to slaughter. And you think, I'm not sure I want to be that. You know, this thing about the spot, if you know this, you know, cartoons, the reason they're funny is because humor is when you say something that can't possibly be true. And this is what, is, you know, Far Side says, wait, listen to me. We don't have to be just sheep, right? That's our goal, right? But the reason that's funny is sheep would never say that. And so what happens sometimes is we get to a place in which that I've heard numbers of sermons talking about God being the shepherd, Jesus being the shepherd, us being the sheep. And then when they talk about sheep, it's really in a degrading kind of way. It's the sheep with his tongue stuck out. You know, you're stupid. You're the guys that walk off the cliff. But that's not how Scripture looks at sheep. I mean, sheep is a pretty good animal in the Bible. It's used a lot. It's super valuable to God. It's never not valuable. I mean, it's really valuable. In fact, there's these stories and parables where the shepherd leaves the 99 just to get the one. And when the one is found, they just all celebrate and have this party over this one sheep. We look at Jesus talking about being a shepherd who values us so much. He lays his life down for us. That's how much value we have, right? You know, we often see Jesus model. He is in Scripture most of the time. He's the shepherd, right? But he's also the sheep, too. Do you understand that? Jesus, when he modeled how we are to live on this earth, he became the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. What does that mean? It means that even Jesus followed, right? To the point of even to death on a cross, right? He was the Lamb of God, the most vulnerable of sheep. So when we're talking about sheep, we're in a spot where it's not a negative. It's not, God doesn't say, now in Christ, David, you are going to have lots of wool, and that will be what your purpose is, and you have skinny legs, and you go, bah, and that's what you are. That's not, you know, it could be, but that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is the attitude. What a sheep's really amazing at is following. Is trusting their whole self to the shepherd. When you understand that, you understand why he always refers to us as sheep. Now, we're going to be talking about this whole thing that you and I are made, are designed to follow. And if you think about sheep flourish and when they stay close and listen and fully trust their shepherd. They flourish when they do that, right? When they don't do that, they don't do well. The other thing about sheep is sheep flourish as they stay connected to the flock. A sheep without the flock doesn't do well, right? There's something about that. And the primary thing is sheep flourish when they follow their shepherd and they do not lead themselves. Sheep make really bad leaders of their life, right? So as we look at that, is you and I are made to follow. I mean, take that in. We're designed for this. It's not because we're stupid. It's because we're designed to trust fully in someone else. We follow. It's in our DNA. Now, when we think about this, is that we are made to listen to our shepherd, Jesus. We are made to need the flock, the body of Christ, and we're made not to follow culture, not to follow our sinful nature, not to follow those desires, not to follow laws and rules, but we're made to follow Jesus. All right? Now, in Isaiah, it's amazing, hundreds of years before Jesus shows up on the scene, there's prophecy about Jesus and about us. And then all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. All right? And so when Jesus came on the scene, he looked at people, and what did he see? When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, right? They were on their own path, and it was taking them away from the source of life, right? So what we see in the New Testament, we see these phrases all the time from the very beginning of Jesus calling his disciples to afterwards and spoken again. It's these two phrases, come and follow me. And sometimes it's come to me, sometimes it's follow me, sometimes it's combined. But we see that again and again repeated through the Gospels when it records Jesus' heart. And so what we have to understand is those phrases are still for us. You know, right now, you can know, if you don't know Jesus in a personal sense, in a way of like we're talking about, where you've come to know him, you've realized you're right with him, you've been forgiven of your sins, and you're joined with him, then God wants you to know this. Come to me. That's what he's saying. You can feel it. You can sense he's inviting you to that. But if you're someone who's known Jesus for a long time, he's still saying it, right? He's still saying, come to me. When you get up in the morning, he's saying, come to me. When you're right now, some of you are in places of struggle, or you're hurt by situations, or you're confused by a place, or you're kind of dead to God, and you're kind of just angry, or you're just, you know, whatever it is, you're doing great. He still says, come to me, because he loves you to be near him. And it's a choice that we make throughout our whole day. Come to me is a choice we make. Follow me. It's a choice we make. Now, I don't know if you, but I've had some times I'm really resistant to that voice. And I just want to go back to my old path, and I just I know it's bad. But it's hard sometimes. I mean, I have times where, I remember there's times where God would just be asking me, come to me. And I think, what do you want? You know, you're like, whoa, I don't, like, what's, like, what are you going to say after that? I didn't mention that. He just said, come to me. Like, and I would, so I get in these kind of things, like the what ifs, like, what is that going to mean? He wasn't asking me that. He was asking me just to come to him, right? That's how it starts, is that, will you trust yourself to God? See, what you have to understand is, when we say yes to him, we always experience his love, his pleasure, and fulfillment. Here's why. What God is looking for, and this, I know you know this, but this is something we can never forget. What he's looking for is not for you to do a bunch of things. And he's not looking for you to stop doing a bunch of things, ultimately. What he's looking for is for you to believe and trust him and respond to the invitation to come to him and to respond to the invitation, follow me. You can always know throughout your life those two phrases will be out of God's heart, because he is a shepherd and he wants you near him. And I've had times in my life, numbers of different times in my life, where, quite honestly, everything within me, my logic, what I could see with my eyes, my emotions, everything was crumbling. Not just the things I hoped in and things I didn't know I hoped in, I expected, were not just not happening, they were going the other direction. And I remember how that felt, and my old nature wanted to just kind of, the enemy says, go back to that, take the other path. I wanted to take charge, you know. I wanted to stop the confusion. I wanted to ease the pain. And but God is just saying, come to me. I said, well, what about, just come to me. But that was a place that I resisted. But every time, I'm telling you, this isn't preacher talk. This is from me. Every time I said yes, I couldn't believe how good it was. I couldn't believe how much better it was. I couldn't believe what God did in that. Even when there was times that it felt crazy to say yes. Because, again, I was exercising trust. And the thing about it is that, you know, that whole thing of how we come to God, every time we come to God and yield ourselves, the times that I did that, that God's grace, every time it made me think, oh, I got to do this again. You know, there's the song that we sing around here that says, there's no place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be than here in your arms. I know you guys, it's kind of sappy, I know, but it is so true. I'm telling you, when you're not doing well and you can't figure it out and you come to God with the whole package, not just part of you, but just the whole thing, there's no better place to be at. The deepest connections I've ever connected with God on is when I was doing horribly and I came to him, because it convinced me of things that I couldn't have been convinced of any other way, that he loved me in spite of all my stuff, that he didn't condemn me a little, nothing, that he believed, had a purpose for me even in that, and that he loved to be with me in my brokenness. Now, the thing about that is, so right now, a question is like, is God asking you to come to him? You know, and it can be, you can be like a little bit off the path, you can be turning the other way and running, you can say, I don't know about this other path, but God is asking you a simple thing, not trying to get you to do stuff, but get you to trust him, right? No matter what you're going through. Now, it's great to be in his arms, right? And I like that a lot. But, you know, he's a pretty good father and a shepherd. And you know why he wants us to come to him too? Is he wants to take us places. He has things for us. Jeremiah says he has plans that are really good for a future and a hope. Paul says the plans are so amazing, we can't even think of them. It's beyond that. He has purposes for us that we can't even imagine. And I love Proverbs 4:18, where it says, the path of righteous is like the morning sun, ever shining brighter to the full break of day. Our life, following Jesus, it gets better. because we trust more and more and more, and the light comes clear. It's not that it's always easy, but it's always amazingly good. Here's the thing about it. Following Jesus, this is what's exciting. You get to go places you would have never got to go before. Sheep can go very few places. You know what I mean? But if you got a shepherd who's Jesus, and he has a plan for your life, he takes you places that are so unexpected and takes you into places that you could have never done. I mean, because you have a power. You have his presence. You have him with you. And when you have Jesus with you, you can go places not because of any of your goodness, but because of his mercy and his love for us. You know, the thing about this, though, is it's still this place of following him is like that same question of come to him. It doesn't end after you come, after you say, okay, I'm a Christian. I'm committing my life to Jesus. I'm asking God for forgiveness, and I want to say yes to that. That's great, but just as you received him, so follow him, right? So what that means is following, he's always asking me that question throughout my day, like, David, follow me. We have something to do. Follow me. And the thing about it is, you think, I've been in this a long time, you think I would be a better sheep by now. I'm learning, I'm better than I was, but the thing about it is, I still sometimes just are so unreceptive to him telling me things. This is kind of an embarrassing confession. But about 2 months ago, I was in a time with God just kind of praying and thinking about different people, and I thought of this neighbor that lives up the street, and I couldn't get him off my mind, and it was very clear I needed to go introduce myself to this neighbor. So I even wrote a note in my little God told me section of my iPhone, right? That was about 2 months ago. I did it this week because I was doing this teaching. I needed to get it done. But I'm just saying, it was so strange that here I was, knowing this, knowing how good it is after all these years, and I still was delaying response. If God told me to go out to eat, I'd probably do that right away. But I'm saying the reality of it is that what is this deal where I know this, but you have to understand there's a spiritual thing of where we say yes to God. We still have to say yes to God. And I thought it was so easy. I went boom, 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 and it was really good, and I have no idea what that means. I don't know why I should have entered, but I know it's part of my path, right? He has something for me. So if he's telling me something, it's for my good. It's for what is coming ahead. So we have to just be able to understand that God is good. He has things. But we have to realize he's looking for trust. Now, a great verse, a section of scripture we're going to use to kind of help practically kind of show the contrast of what we follow and the benefits of following Jesus is in Galatians 5:19 through 25. To kind of put it in context, in Galatians, the Galatians were believers, right? They'd experienced the Holy Spirit. They'd been this new creation. The Spirit had made them alive. They were dead, and they're now alive, right? And so Paul is concerned because what's happening, people are coming in and teaching them a different gospel. They're saying, no, you need to follow the law. So they understand, I don't want to follow my sinful nature. And so they're trying to figure out how to stop that, so they're following the law. And so he's in this combination, that's not going to work. Your sinful nature will continue to rule. And so he talks to them, and he says, you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You receive the Spirit because you believe the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be after starting this new life by the Spirit? Why are you trying to become perfect or complete by your own human effort? So walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. That's how you beat, because your sin nature is dead. So as we look at this, begin looking at the contrast, and the first thing is to realizing that we're all following something, right? We're all following something. What God's saying is you need to follow the right thing if you want to have life. And Jesus is that right thing. The Spirit of Christ is that right thing. It says, When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy. You guys have any of those yet? Okay. Outburst of anger, selfish ambition, star that one. Dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. I tell you again, as I have before, that anyone who lives that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I love this. There's no law against these. In other words, you understand they're looking to fulfill the law. You're doing that by doing this. By following the Spirit, you're fulfilling the law. And he goes on to say, he says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Now, we start out with this whole thing of, when you follow desires of your sinful nature, the result is very clear. In other words, here's what it gets down to. Just do what you want. And if you do just whatever your desires, you'll end up with this list in some form. It'll take you away from true life. It'll pull you in and it'll steal from you. All right? And so it starts there. And then it goes down and says, the thing about it is, but the Holy Spirit, if that's what's leading you, it'll produce the fruits like this, the ones that we love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. And here's why. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. I like the way you put that there. There, way back there. It's done. It's finished. It's back there. Since we are living, and there's the very reason you know Jesus and are in this relationship and have the Holy Spirit in you is because of the Spirit. Let's follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Now, there is a good memory verse. Let's follow the Spirit's leading, the Spirit of Christ within us, leading us in every part of our life. And here's why. We're made for it. We're made to follow God fully, yield our whole self to Him. We can trust Him. We're not called to do that with anything else but Jesus, but we're called to trust ourselves completely. Now, a couple things that I think would help us in this as far as kind of reflecting on this is, first off, is how do we do this? Well, the first thing is, what I want to encourage you this morning is embrace your sheepiness. Embrace that you are made to follow, right? You're made for this. You're designed for that. I know culture tells you everything else but that, but that's not true. You're designed to follow, not anything but God, but you are designed to follow. You're not designed to lead your own life. Now, let me just say it again. You're not designed to lead your own life. For those of you who are trying to lead your own life, you may have different seasons to go, but I'm telling you, ultimately, it will not be good because you're not made for it. You're not designed for that. And that's why many of us who are trying to lead our life, if we really got honest, we're that quivering sheep out away from the flock, trying to act like it's okay. But we're not doing well on the inside, are we? Right? Because we're made to be among the flock, and we're made to be completely trusting our shepherd. You know, you're going to follow something. You need to follow what is faith, because that's what pleases God. And it requires no faith for me to be led by culture, what culture tells me I should be. You can try it. You'll be left empty. There's no faith for me to be my own shepherd. It takes no faith for that. That happens very naturally. Ask my wife. All right? That I'm in charge, that I run my life, Don't tell me what to do with my life. I lead myself. There's no faith. That just comes very natural. There's no faith in yielding myself to my sinful nature. That really comes natural, right? And we can see the fruit of that is obvious. And here's another thing I'd say, especially tied to this place of Galatians, what they're trying to do, is there no faith in living by a set of rules and using your human effort to try to do well with Jesus? There's no faith in that. It's dead, right? But there is faith when we realize we're made to follow and we trust our shepherd. We trust Jesus with our life. It's exhausting when we are trying to live in a way that we're not made for. And it's so refreshing and so good and so fulfilling when we lead a life and trust our Creator and yield ourselves to Him and yield ourselves to Christ to lead us as a shepherd. Second thing, come to Jesus and stay close, right? This is something, this invitation always gets deeper. He is always saying, come to me, come to me. You know, build it into your life. You know, begin understanding that God wants you to come to Him. And so when you're, if maybe some of you are hurting, maybe some of you feel pretty dead inside spiritually, maybe some of you don't know Jesus and you want to, some of you are messing up or feel ashamed, or you're messing up and not feeling ashamed, or whatever it is. You're doing great, you know. Come to me wherever you're at. He meets us wherever we're at. I don't know about Jesus. Well, come to Him. He'll explain it to Him. He'll explain who He is to you. Now, the thing about this is that, you know, this place of coming to Jesus, He's always wanted to get us to a place that we can trust Him to greater degrees. Because when we trust Him to greater degrees, we're able to fulfill our purpose and we're experiencing the fruit that we talked about of the Spirit. I remember one time I was being prayed for, and bear with me, I'm a little weird on describing things, so if you get it, just check out if you don't. But if you can, I'll try to explain it to you. Because I had a hard time explaining this because it was very significant, but I had a hard time putting it in words. But I got prayer one time. I was in California, and when I was being prayed for, I thought I was doing fine, but I really wasn't settled inside. But I couldn't think of a problem I could bring to God and say, could you pray for this? I didn't have that at all. The best way to describe it is I had tangled wiring, some things that weren't right, but I couldn't diagnose them. I didn't know what they were. I just felt anxiety. I felt pressure, and I didn't bring it up. Because I didn't know what it was. It wasn't I was trying to be holding back from God. And so as people began praying for me, I felt God's presence. And what that means is it's you feel God in a stronger way. You sense Him personally. You actually can sense Him there, right? And it was so strong that I started feeling myself dropping my guard because I felt so safe. And the best way to describe it was like this ball of wiring that was not doing well, which I was just keeping down here, when I felt safe and just came to God and started getting honest, all of a sudden this whole mess of me, all the messy part of me just started coming like right there. And it was covered with a whole cloud of shame. And I didn't even know what it was, right? This is hard to explain. But as I sat there and kept praying, because I wanted to stay in it, but it was like so hard to let God see all this, what happened was he just cleared off all the shame. That's not me. And he just began untangling stuff I couldn't even understand. So here's what I'm saying in that. You don't even have to know why you're coming to God all the way. You don't have to say, oh, I got this problem. It just means I need you. I didn't even know I needed him. And just showing up, he says, I meet you, because he's that kind of shepherd. And the other thing I'd say is seek and listen for Jesus' instructions. The question is, how do you start learning how to be led and how to hear the shepherd? And how do you do that? You learn by what? The shepherd. The shepherd teaches you. You can't figure this out on your own. But he's an amazing shepherd. He's not like, oh, I don't know what to do. It's dark. He's a stupid sheep. No, he knows exactly what to do with me. He loves me, and he teaches me how to start sensing and hearing his voice. He says, my sheep know my voice. He teaches us that. And so learning this place of understanding how do we follow God's Spirit and have him leading in every area of our life, it's in all areas of life we start learning what it feels to be with God and what we start feeling when we start moving away from God. When we start relying on him or we start relying on ourselves, when we find ourselves in a place of how do you know that? How do you know this nudge? How do you know his staff and his rod? You start learning to feel it. So here's how you learn how to follow Jesus. Start following him. That's it. You take whatever you know, like right now, maybe someone's here saying, yeah, I think I could use some prayer in that. Follow him in that. When you have prayer, go get prayer in that prayer. You know, if you think, oh yeah, I should talk to this other person. Just like I should talk to my neighbor. You have a couple of you guys are already thinking. I was thinking, I probably have one of those things on my list I haven't done either. Start doing it. I'm saying you learn, and through that spot, you start learning this thing of this is really good. This is what I'm made for. This is brings life to me. I feared that it would be bad, but it's actually amazingly good. It's way better than my plan. And then once you hear what he's saying, say yes to whatever Jesus asks you to do and go wherever he wants you to take you. Now, Jesus also said, hey, if you follow me, it may not be smooth. It's going to be really good, and you'll never regret it. But it may not be smooth. But it will be the adventure of your life that you will never regret taking. And I'm telling you, what's so amazing about God is everybody, he has a particular plan for you, and he wants to take you places. And a unique adventure that no one else in this room, it'll be different for every person. And he has a unique plan for you, but our part is only saying yes and trusting. He does the rest. So I encourage you to say yes. And when I say that is understand he is a really loving shepherd. He's not going to kick you off the cliff, you know. Oh, you know, good to have you, David. You know, go do that. No, and here's the cool thing. Whatever he asks you to do, wherever he says, follow me, he will stay with you. He'll never assign you and send you out. He will stay with you. And that's what's so cool about it. Like, I can't do that. I know you can't, but I'll stay with you till you can. And let him start and so, but it's still this choice. Will you come to God? And will you follow him? Right? Now, here's the challenge. The worship team can come up. Just be thinking during worship, and as we get ready to have some time for prayer, I encourage lots of you to get prayer on this and other things that maybe God's doing in your life, is in this area of your life, what's the invitation to come to him? Maybe you know it. Maybe it's an area you know. Maybe you don't know it, but you feel the need, and you can feel him as I'm talking. You can feel like, I need to get, it's so good when you're just all that you are, not hiding anything, and you're feeling the love of God. You can be in the middle of the darkest valley, and you're still glad you're there. Even though you want to get out as quick as possible, you know God's with you, and it's worth it. And so, what is God wanting you to come to him about? What's he inviting you about? And what area of your life are you being asked to follow Jesus? He's probably not going to give you 25 things to do. He's probably going to give you one or a couple. That's it. Because he's a great father. He's a great teacher. But he will tell you, if you ask him, simple things. And don't underestimate. If he tells you to go visit a neighbor, go visit a neighbor. If he tells you to reach out to somebody, if he tells you to go get prayer, whatever that is, do that. But he'll tell you what he wants you to do. And your part is just to say yes. And then trust yourself to Jesus by coming to him and by doing what he's asking you to do. So would you stand?